The reading today is taken from Revelation chapter 21, starting at verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun nor the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor onto it. On no day will its gates ever shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and its servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. This is the word of the Lord.
So let's pray. So Heavenly Father, as I speak, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So have you ever met the King or the late Queen Elizabeth, or even seen them at a distance? Julie Frost, who leads our worship some of the weeks, she was at Buckingham Palace on Wednesday for the garden party, and she shook the King's hand. So next time you see Julie, shake her hand and the blessing can pass on. So we had some reflections on this when it was the late Queen's Platinum Jubilee last year, and I'm going to start with a story from that I told at that time, kind of just to make the link. In Luton, there were some Irish nuns who set up a day centre for homeless people. There were a number of night shelters, but they wanted to find something, a place where they could gather in the day, have something to eat, have a shower, and eventually they decided it'd be really good if they could bring some training in, something to do to equip these folk with skills, having sort of dropped out of society. They were never going to go to a college, so they brought instructors from a local college in, and they began to do woodworking skills, furniture restoration, and eventually set up a furniture business, which was amazing. And Sister Eileen, who was the nun who had the vision for this amazing woman of God, she said, and I won't attempt her accent, but they come in with a bottle and they go out with a certificate. The centre was actually visited by the late Queen Elizabeth when she came to Luton. And I was involved with this work, and I was standing a few feet away from the Queen. She didn't speak to me, but she looked at me, saw my dog collar, and turned to a lady in waiting and said, whenever I visit a work like this, the clergy are always involved. Or noting the church is always involved. Christians are always involved. So what we have in this cameo of the Luton Day Centre is a picture of the earthly rule of a monarch and God's rule on earth, bringing transformation for his kingdom. So I've entitled my sermon today, The Coronation and the Kingdom of God. So I want to bring together the concept of our new king and the kingdom he rules over, and the big picture in the Bible of God's coming kingdom and where it's all going to end up. Which brings us to the Bible passage that we've heard, which is from the last two books of the Bible, the end of Revelation, chapter 21, and the beginning of Revelation, chapter 22. And it is a picture of the heavenly city, the new heaven and the new earth. And it's full of picture language describing the direction of our world when it finally comes under God's complete rule, when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God and his Christ, which were the words that the Archbishop used when he gave the orb with the cross over it to the king. So is this picture that we have, this at the end of the Bible, literal or is it figurative? Well, over the years, many people have come up with countless theological theories on all of this and the end times and what's going to happen. So I'm not going to go into all this morning, because we'll be here all day and probably all week and the next week going through all the different thoughts. There's a degree of mystery about it, but it is undoubtedly a picture revealing to us what is to come. What I do want to emphasize is that there is something glorious to come, a glorious world to come. And it's not just a spiritual one, because the physical and the spiritual were split apart at the fall, the disobedience of Adam and Eve. God walked with them in the garden. They were like that. But the separation came. And it's a picture of the coming together of the physical and the spiritual once more in perfect harmony with Jesus as the King of Kings. And with so many challenges in the world today, it's easy to become dispirited and lack hope for the future. But we're reassured in the Bible of a wonderful future, a future which comes about as followers of Jesus Christ work in the power of the Holy Spirit for God our Father's coming kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So let's just think about some of the features of the heavenly city. At the start of Revelation chapter 1, at the beginning of the chapter, John, the writer of Revelation, recorded his vision of the new heaven and the new earth, which is embodied in this holy city, the new Jerusalem. The city is coming down from heaven to earth, which is a vital concept because God desires to be right among his people again, like he was with Adam and Eve in the garden at the beginning. So this move from heaven to earth began with the Son of God being born in human flesh in Bethlehem. It was heaven coming to earth in the person of Jesus. And following his ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension back into heaven, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit was sent down upon the group of believers gathered in Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit empowered them and empowers us to continue God's work on earth, this great project of bringing heaven and earth back together. And in the new heaven and the new earth, we're told there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All of humanity, all of society, all of creation is healed, is restored, is renewed. Not taking it back to how it was, but bringing it back together into a glorious future. And in the reading, we were told that there's no temple in the holy city. There's no temple. It's because everyone is completely saturated with the presence of God. The people are the temple. There are no church buildings anymore, because all people will be so full of God that their daily lives are completely an act of worship. And as the Lord told the prophet Habakkuk, it's a great name, isn't it, Habakkuk? We've not had any children in our church named Habakkuk yet, so just bear that in mind. You know, the Lord told the prophet Habakkuk in his anguish over the state of the nation, there would be a time when the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in Revelation chapters 21 and 22, we see this finally fulfilled. The holy city is illuminated by the glory of God's presence. What a wonderful vision that is, isn't it? And I love this verse from today's reading, and it kind of connects together with the coronation. It says, nations will walk by the light of the glory of God, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor to it. So God's rule on earth will transcend. God's rule on earth will transcend any form of earthly government. All rulers in the earth will be attracted to and submitted to God, be they kings or otherwise. Jesus is the King of Kings. So, with what we read in the Bible, does it reflect God being keen on kings? Does the Old Testament pattern of kingship give us a guide for today? Certainly past kings of our nation have looked at this pattern, and some, of course, took it too far and lost their head. However, the UK today is, we're not a one-to-one match with the government of Israel in the Old Testament, which was what was called a theocracy. Indeed, Scripture doesn't lay down any preferred form of human government. Israel was originally established as a grouping of tribes without a single hereditary leader. But God later raised up what were called judges to rule his people. But this was hardly a success, and it led to doing everyone that what was right in their own eyes. Eventually the people asked God for a king like the nations around them, and God told them, in fact, this wasn't a good idea, but allowed it to happen. King Saul was the first king, ended up as a disaster, but God ultimately gave them a king with a heart after God's heart, a king with a heart after God's heart, in the warrior shepherd King David. And David pointed to an everlasting kingdom, which would be ruled by the Messiah, the anointed one from God, which of course came into being, began in the person of Jesus Christ. First few verses of Romans 13 in the New Testament states how the early Christians were commanded to honour and respect and obey even pagan human rulers, but provided it did not require them to disobey Christ. And Paul instructed Timothy to pray for kings and those in authority. So God's rule comes through those who follow Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit, no matter what position in society we have. And God anoints all Christians with the Holy Spirit to equip us to serve him. Every one of us has that possibility. And I see the anointing of King Charles in the coronation service in exactly the same way. King Charles was anointed as a means of praying for the Holy Spirit to empower him for his role. The Archbishop made that quite clear. And this role is as a figurehead and as a symbol and agent of unity in our nation. That is his role as the king. Our nation has evolved to become a parliamentary democracy, with a constitutional monarchy, not an absolute one, which of course is where it went wrong back with King James the First, King Charles the First. And all our public services, from the judiciary and the armed forces, have their allegiance rooted in the crown, which gives a neutral, non-political basis for their authority and keeps their power in check. Of course, there are other ways of doing this in different nations to keep the balance of power right. But in the UK, we have a king. So let's keep on praying for the king to continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And for me, one of the images that was so powerful was when all the robes were taken off the king and he just had a simple shirt. And he was just like you and me, wasn't he? Just like you and me. Absolutely no different. A man needing the infilling of the Holy Spirit to empower him for this role that he's been called to. And I love in the Archbishop's sermon, when he said Jesus' throne is the cross. His crown is made of thorns. And his regalia are the wounds that pierced his body. Wow. I wonder what the king thought when he heard that. But what a challenge it is to me and to each one of us as well. And there's a wonderful connection between the anointing of King Charles and the image of the Holy City. So do you remember seeing this screen put around the king to make it that private act when he was anointed between him and God? Revelation 22 tells us that there's a river in the holy city with trees on its banks, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Wonderful bit of poetry that, isn't it? The leaves of the trees for the healing of the nations. And the screen here has a tree with leaves embroidered on it, and each one has the name of one of the 56 Commonwealth nations. I don't recollect that coming out of the commentary, but this is from our Bible reading today. And each leaf, as I say, has a name of one of the Commonwealth nations. So there's a real kind of sign of the king being filled with the Spirit and the Spirit of God flowing through all the nations of the Commonwealth. Wouldn't that be amazing to see that? So this river flowing through the holy city is a wonderful sign of life. We had a river in here last week, didn't we? So I really feel that, you know, this is something that God is saying to us at the moment. None of this was coordinated at all. And when Julie put that down, she had no idea I was going to be talking about this today. So once again, there's a fulfillment here in Revelation chapter 22 from the Old Testament, namely Ezekiel chapter 47. And in this image, water is, in the Old Testament, water was poured out, a drink offering, it was poured out into the sanctuary. And then we're told that the water flows out from the south side of the temple, and it flows further and further away. The further from the temple it gets, the wider and deeper is this river, this mighty river, the river that brings life wherever it flows. The water representing, of course, the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is flowing, bringing life in the new heaven and the new earth. The river flows from the holy city. In other words, from the company of believers. You and I are the temple of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God flows through us because God is enthroned in our hearts. So God is calling us as his anointed children to work in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring life in the world around us. God is calling us to join in his mission to bring all things back under his godly rule, for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. God's calling us to join the flow of the Holy Spirit to work with him towards the new heaven and the new earth. But what does it look like in practice? Something I talked a lot about before all the lockdown, and sort of coming back to just some of the basics today. God proclaiming God's kingdom in word and action, and what have been called the five marks of mission, the signs of God's kingdom coming. And it central to it all is telling, these five T's to help us to remember them. But telling is the proclamation of the good news of Jesus and the kingdom of God. Teaching to nurture people in the faith, to baptize and grow new believers. Tend is responding to the human need in loving service. Transforming unjust structures in society. Challenging violence, pursuing peace and reconciliation. And to treasure, slightly convoluted one, but treasuring the natural world to be good stewards of creation. So this is what mission looks like in the whole breadth of it. It's what the coming of God's kingdom looks like when we're involved in these actions. So how can Collieroa, the area where we live, where we work, be a better reflection of God's kingdom? So as per the banners we have round the church, we have these community transformation goals. How can the area that where we inhabit, the spaces that we are day to day, better reflect God's kingdom? By strong families that hold together, that learn to forgive, that share faith within them. Healthy people in body, soul and spirit, physically and emotionally. A positive environment, a clean environment. An environment that is looked after and not exploited. A place where people are not lonely, where loneliness isn't just allowed to sort of keep people isolated from others. And thriving businesses where godly practices occur in those business places, and where people can come together and wealth is created for the good of all. So as we work towards these goals and share the good news of Jesus through the relationships that we can build through them, then we can be moving towards that wonderful picture of Revelation 21 and 22. So at this time of coronation and anointing of the king, let's remember that each of us who has professed Jesus as Lord is a citizen of the kingdom of God, and the Holy Spirit begins to flow through us and from us. And so let's each play our part in working towards the new heaven and the new earth when Jesus returns, and the kingdoms of this world will be the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Amen.